We've been looking at the sacraments back on question number 66. It says, what are these sacraments? These sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals appointed by God for this end, that by their use he may more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. So what is the purpose of the sacraments, according to what I just said? The sacraments are a declaration of the grace of God. They are, as Calvin says, they are visible sermons. When we look at the Lord's Supper, you cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper unless you first have the gospel preached to you, because the Lord's Supper points to what Jesus did. So we need to have the word, and then, as Calvin said, a second sermon, the word made visible. And the same thing happens in baptism. Baptism points to the grace of God. Okay. So when we stop and again, when we think about when Jesus instituted baptism, and you look at the verbs, what are the verbs there? He says to the disciples what? You're to go and make disciples. And to make disciples is the main verb. Actually going, teaching, and baptizing. Those are supporting the make disciples. Okay? But notice in that command, baptism is not what I do. Baptism is what's done to me. And there is a distinct importance to that. Do you understand that? There are some in the church today that say, baptism is what I do. It's what I make a profession of faith. That's what baptism is. And the answer is, you look at the original text. No, baptism is God claiming you as his own. It's like being adopted. You know, the parents adopt the child. The child doesn't adopt the parents. And so it is. God, who is our Father, has adopted us to be his children. When did he sign the adoption papers? In baptism. It's the Father signing those papers, like the judge does when it happens in the court. And so baptism is something that points to what God does. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What did the Father do? From eternity, he chose you. What did the Son do? 2,000 years ago, he laid down his life for you. What did the Spirit do? He took what Jesus did and applies it to you. That's what baptism points to. You happen to be the recipient, but it's not about you primarily. It's about God. If you can get that in mind, I think you can handle the rest of what is said here. Question 72, is then the outward washing with water itself the washing away of sins? So when the minister pours or sprinkles or whatever water on you, does that wash away your sins? Is it in the act of doing it that it happens? In some churches across the street, in other places, there is actually forcing God to do something. Is that what this point? And it says, no, only the blood of Jesus Christ and the application of that by the Holy Spirit cleanses us from sin. Okay? So the washing water points to the reality. What's the reality? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's one who does that, who also works faith. Then why this passage comes up at times, why this statement that calling baptism the washing of regeneration, washing away of sins. Because again, it's pointing to the reality. What happens when you're forgiven? Those sins are as removed. You're as clean and perfect in the sight of God. Earlier we saw in question 59, and I love this question, and you know I bring it up a number of times. What does it help you now that you believe all this, that is the gospel? That I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. That before God, he looks upon me and I'm righteous. I'm clean. I have a right standing. I have boldness to walk, to enter the throne of glory and say, Abba, Father, Daddy. Because I'm forgiven and I'm accepted. Why? Because of Jesus and what he's done. And so baptism points to the work of Jesus, but also of the Holy Spirit, who does a work of regeneration. Can you regenerate yourself? No. Can you make yourself, can you raise yourself from the dead? No. Some people think they can. I mean, honestly, there are some in the Christian church that say, when I believe, then I'm born again. I made myself alive from the dead. Is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches? That it's by our faith that we exercise the power of God to raise ourselves from the dead? Well, can a dead person raise themselves? Well, one did, and his name was Jesus, but he's God. But no, it's grace. So we come to question 74. So what about children of believers? Are they excluded? Is it just me and Jesus? Is the Bible an American document? You know why I say that? Because in Americanism, in our thinking, in our culture, the primary focus is me. And when the gospel is preached, it's all about you and Jesus. But does God treat us that way? Or does God also include our children? And the answer is, he includes our children. We see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when someone comes to faith in Christ, they're baptized and their household. And that's the normal thing. In the Old Testament, someone came to faith in Christ and they were accepted. If they were a male, they were circumcised, and their household was also included as part of the covenant people of God. And that's what it says there. So since they, as well as their parents, belong to the covenant and people of God, and the blood of Christ, both redemption from sin and the Holy Spirit who works, notice that, who works faith, and that's important. Is faith something you work up, or is faith given to you by God? Given by God. True saving faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit who works that in us by the gospel. And notice it says, are promised to them no less than to their parents. So when God looks at the children of believers, they belong to him. If you belong to him, everything you have belongs to him, including your children. God looks at families. Who did he save? Did he save just Noah or Noah and his family? His family. Who did he save? Moses or the family of God, the people of God? The children of Israel, the family of God. And so it is in the New Testament. Notice the other thing, that they are to be engrafted in the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Testament, in a place of which in the New Testament baptism appointed. So this is a challenging doctrine. What's really crazy is baptism is designed to bring the church together, but it has split into warring factions on it.